So it matters with whom we associate. That's the important lesson from the first reading today. We may not even understand much of what we hear, but the reality is that King Solomon, who was the son of David, built this magnificent temple. And we just heard a couple of days ago in the daily mass readings that he was told he could ask God for anything and God would give it to him. And he asked for wisdom and understanding. But he forgets or doesn't care. He turns away from God. Now, how did this happen? One of the things that God tells the Jewish people when they're leaving Egypt and going into the promised land was, stay together. Don't marry foreigners. Don't disassociate yourselves with those who are with you. Why? Now, it's not a statement about what we should do with foreigners. The message of this reading is not about who we should value or not value. It's not about prejudice or so forth. It's about what we hear happened to King Solomon in this reading, which we probably didn't catch, because unless you are up to date on your study of Canaanite gods, you wouldn't have caught it anyway. Mr. Finucane might be, but I think most people are probably not aware of the gods that are mentioned in this first reading. I'm only going to highlight one. I'm not going to tell you about them all. But there's one that's mentioned in here to give you an idea of why God was so concerned about who they should associate with. And it's the god Moloch, M-O-L-E-C-H. By the way, the first reading was a bit of a challenge. A lot of big names in here. But Moloch was a Canaanite god. And if you worshipped Moloch, so if you left God and you worshipped Moloch, what you did was you sacrificed your children to appease the god Moloch. So it's not that God really has anything against foreigners. He's saying, if you get hooked up into this, this is bad indeed. This is really a horrible thing that is happening. And we first hear about this god way back in the book of Leviticus. But Solomon gets into this because of his wives. Now, Solomon had lots of wives. By the way, that's not what the Bible intended. It was not something that God really approved of. It was rather that God could work even in the midst of this behavior. But Solomon gets distracted, and not only does he get distracted, he gets so distracted that he starts building worship sites to these Canaanite gods, one of whom was Moloch. It matters who we associate with. This is not of God. This is not something that God encourages. And in fact, it's highly destructive even to the Canaanites who are involved in this. A loving God can in no way, not that this would come as a big shock to you, but a loving God in no way could ask for child sacrifice and expect people to do it. In fact, some would suggest that this was precisely the reason that the story of Abraham and Isaac is told to us, that it's God's statement of saying, I would never really expect you to do this, namely sacrifice your son. And it is that story that God intervenes at the last minute saying, no, this is not right. Don't do this. Now, lest we think this is just something about an event that happens a long time ago, there's an important message for us. We all know it is important. We know it's true. It matters with whom we hang out. Because the people with whom we hang out, the friends we choose, have influence over us in terms of how we act and the choices we make for how we behave. And we all know that our friends can either bring out the best in us, which is great, because we all need friends. We all need people we care about. We all need those that we love and allow ourselves to be loved. And our friends can do that. They can bring out the best in us. They can challenge us in a very helpful and wonderful way. But if we're not careful, If we don't choose carefully, if we don't reflect on who it is that we're hanging out with, our friends can bring out not so good in us too. Our friends can bring out something in us that's not so wonderful. In an extreme case, our friends can bring out the worst in us too. We can be tempted to imitate those people, for whatever reason, that don't live a moral life, a virtuous life, a good life. We see this in all kinds of ways in our current age. There's a reason why we use the word mob rule. Mob rule is not a good thing. What mob rule refers to are those actions that we can commit in our own lives because we're so influenced by those around us that cause real harm to others. Who is it that God is calling you to be? That's part of what I think at this point in your life, on the verge of heading out to some great new adventure when you graduate from high school, one of the things that is happening is that you're, for the first time, looking at doing something amazing. Now, you may not know what that is yet. That makes you probably what we would call normal. If you were to do a survey on many college campuses and you were to ask the kids in college, do you know what you're here for? A lot of them might say, no, I don't know. Certainly a lot of freshmen, I think, have probably not suggested settled on their major or what they want to study or what they want to do. And even those that have, sometimes it's taking the path of least resistance. But our friends, if we choose them wisely, are described in Scripture as a treasure. And you know that. I suspect you all have friends who bring out the best in you. I suspect that you all have friends who challenge you when you need to be challenged and support you when you need to be supported and look to help you when you need to be helped. And they celebrate you when it is you need to be celebrated. Ultimately, the most important thing to remember is that the greatest friend any of us can have is the Lord Jesus himself. Here's what I would encourage you to think about as you're here in this on this retreat, this time away. What keeps you from growing in your faith with Jesus? That's the question everybody needs to answer, whether you have thought about Jesus a lot and you have a deep and wonderful and loving relationship with him, or whether you've not thought about him much at all, or like most of us, you're probably somewhere in between the two. What is it that Jesus wants you to do in order to become the person that he wants you to be, which is the person that will give you the greatest source of fulfillment in your life? Because when you become the person that Jesus wants you to become, then indeed you come to experience his love in a powerful way. You learn to love your friends in a tremendous way. You recognize that every time you love, you're imitating God in a magnificent way, who loves us. And most of all, you recognize the power of love that lasts forever.